And our theme scripture is 1 Timothy 4:7, which says this: take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. So right now, as we're moving toward the new year, many, many people are thinking about what have traditionally been called New Year's resolutions. How many of you know about 75%, they say, of New Year's resolutions fade within the first week, and then the remaining 20-some percent fade after about 3 weeks? And New Year's resolutions, in essence, become just kind of wishful thinking of things we wish we could change but seem powerless to do so. And this morning, I want to talk to you about four habits, not resolutions, not wishful thinking, but I want to talk about habits. Because habits are what really define you and I. Habits will absolutely determine your destiny. The habits that you have absolutely are directing you in a certain way in your life. And until you either start new habits or identify those that are taking you off course, you're going to have essentially the same life year after year after year. Your life really is about an accumulation of habits. I want to give you some quotes this morning on habits. One of the most interesting books I read this year, 2015, was a book by Charles Duhigg called The Power of Habit. How many of you are familiar with that book? Seen that book on the bookshelf at Barnes & Noble? Okay, two of you. Well, fantastic. It's a New York Times bestseller. It's a secular book. I got absolutely intrigued by it. And there's a lot of quotes from the book that I want to share with you briefly this morning. First one's from Aristotle. Aristotle says this: we are what we repeatedly do. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. Excellence is not an act, but a habit. Here's a couple quotes from Charles himself from the book. All our life, so far as it has definite form, is but a mass of habits. This is from William James, actually, the psychologist. Practical, emotional, and intellectual. Systematically organized for our weal or woe, and bearing us irresistibly toward our destiny, whatever the latter may be. Our habits are leading us toward our destiny. Duhigg, the author of the book, says this: habits are technically defined as the choices that all of us deliberately make at some point and then stop thinking about but continue doing often every day. Let me realize that's kind of, when you talk about a habit, there's a lot of things that you do almost without thinking. You've done them so often, you essentially do them every single day. How many of you realize that you brush your teeth with the same, you pick up your toothbrush with the same hand, you put the toothpaste on with the same hand, you brush your teeth in the same way. Now let's hope every one of you do this every day. But it becomes such a habit, it's so ingrained that when you go to brush your teeth in the morning, you don't stop and go, which hand should I pick the toothbrush up with? Which hand should I grab the toothpaste with? It's just automatic. You've done it so many times. It's just routine. You do it without even thinking. In fact, you're thinking of something else while you're brushing your teeth. Same way with combing your hair. Same way with washing your face. The things you do every day become such a habit, they get so ingrained into you that literally you don't even use your conscious mind anymore to think about those things because they are technically a habit. And one of my favorite little sayings is this, is that champions do every day what others just do from time to time. Have you ever watched somebody and thought, man, I wish I could do what they do? You ever watched a great athlete and thought, man, I wish I could play basketball like that guy? Watched a great runner and thought, man, I wish I could run like that. Watched a great skater, ice skater, and thought, man, I wish I could skate like that. And it's easy to watch somebody who has practiced day in and day out, hour after hour after hour, and think, boy, I wish I could do that. And you lace on the skates or grab the basketball and you go out and you go, man, I'm just not as good as they are. And the fact of the matter is, in reality, you haven't practiced like they have. You haven't created the muscle memory that they have. You haven't gone through the routine that they've gone through. Champions, Duhigg says, champions don't do extraordinary things, they do ordinary things. But they do them without thinking, too fast for the other team to react. They follow the habits they've learned. In other words, it's all about the practice and developing the habit day in and day out, day in and day out. As we, boy, it's pouring down, isn't it? Can you hear me? Don't fall asleep on me, okay? This is great sleeping weather, I know. I love sleeping when it's raining. We might do that this morning. Ushers, be on the alert. Keep an eye out for any bobbing heads. No, I'm just kidding. Habits, listen, here's good news. Habits are malleable throughout your entire life. That's what Duhigg, the researcher of the book, came up with. Literally found that regardless of what age or stage someone was in life, they could change their habits if they became intentional about it. So why are you talking about habits so much, Pastor Jeff? Well, because some of you are going to toy around with the idea of resolutions. And I want to offer you something more, something better, something that I think will make a greater difference. And it's really about developing some habits that are going to draw you closer to God. I am all out for you being all in for God. I want to help you have the best year you've ever had in seeking the heart of God, in encountering God, in experiencing His will, in living your life full on for Him. Here's another thing Duhigg says, very interesting. He talks about keystone habits. And I want you to listen to this, very interesting. Typically, people who exercise start eating better and becoming more productive at work. He calls exercise a keystone habit. I want to offer to you this morning another keystone habit here in a minute. I want to encourage you to exercise. I think that's a great thing for many of you to consider doing. But I want to also offer something else. They smoke less. They show more patience with colleagues and family. They use their credit cards less frequently. And they say they feel less stressed. Exercise is a keystone habit that triggers widespread change. Isn't that interesting? Essentially what Duhigg is saying is that if you start that one habit and you stay consistent with it, all of a sudden you will notice that that one habit triggers the building of several other good habits in your life. How many of you know when you exercise your guts out and you're about to throw up, that later on when someone puts that piece of pie in front of you, you think, you know, that doesn't look quite as good as it used to. Because I know if I eat that, I'm going to suffer later when I work out the next day or whatever it may be. And you start kind of turning over a new leaf and start creating new habits. And that one keystone habit begins to affect many areas of your life. And I want to give you some keystone habits that I think are going to help you to draw closer to God. But by the way, here's the challenge. At some point, if you're changing a really deep-seated behavior, you're going to have a moment of weakness. You've experienced that before, whether it's a diet or exercise. At some point, you're going to, I don't know if I can keep doing this. Here's what Duhigg says, and there's the cover of the book, by the way. The brain can be reprogrammed. You just have to be deliberate about it. Once people learned how to believe in something, that skill started spilling over to other parts of their lives until they started believing they could change. Belief was the key ingredient that made a reworked habit loop into a permanent behavior. It's really coming down out there. Wow. It's unusual. I can't hardly remember too many Sunday mornings where The rain overtook me almost. Let me throw this slide up. You can be looking at it with me here while we wait for the rain to go down. So three R's of habit formation that Duhigg talks about in his book. The first one is a reminder. Okay, let's look through it together. I think you can you hear me okay? And a reminder always has a cue or a trigger that starts the habit. And he offers as an example here a traffic light that turns green. How many of you know what to do when a traffic light turns green, right? So that's the reminder. So that leads us to the routine. The action you take when a traffic light turns green is the habit itself. You drive through the intersection. And then to complete the loop from reminder to routine to reward, the benefit you gain from doing the habit, example, you get closer to your destination. It's a reminder, there's the routine, and then there's the reward. So let's use exercise again as a way to think about building some keystone habits. Want to exercise more? Choose a cue, okay? The cue would be the reminder, okay? Such as going to the gym as soon as you wake up. And then choose a reward, okay? So reminder, reward, and then in between is the routine. Such as a smoothie after each workout. Then think about that smoothie or about the endorphin rush that you'll feel. And then allow yourself to anticipate the reward. Eventually, that craving will make it easier to push through the gym doors every day. So, reminder, routine, reward. So let's dive into our four life-changing habits in a fast quickly this morning. The first habit I want to talk to you about, I think it could possibly be the most important of the four. And it's the one that I would love for you to really prayerfully consider making a keystone habit. Because I think if you do, you will find a lot of other things coming out of this one habit. This one habit. And I know some of you have heard me talk about this before. Don't let it fall on deaf ears today. Consider it with me again for the first time and really prayerfully think about this with me. I want to encourage you, number one, to have time with God every single day. I don't think there's ever been a time in history and certainly in your life and my life where we need it more than we need it now. I need time with God every single day. In fact, reading the Bible is the kindling for revival fire in my heart and in your heart. There was a survey conducted by the Gallup poll in Christianity Today. Listen to this. You've got to hear this. That found that no factor is more influential in shaping a person's moral and social behavior than regular daily Bible reading. That ought to say something to you and I, that there is nothing that you can do that's going to bring greater change in your life, make you more godly and more godlike, help you to grow in your walk with God, than every single day committing to reading the Word of God. Nothing else is going to take the place of that. And let me tell you some alarming statistics quickly. 11% of Americans read the Bible every day. Of Christians that have been polled, only 18% read the Bible every day. In fact, 23% of Christians never read their Bible. I'm not sure how you can be a Christian and not read God's Word, which is the foundation of our belief system, and it tells us how we're to live this life. I will never forget the days that I spent in communist China being a donkey. Tracy and I were donkeys for Jesus. We were couriers of the Word of God into communist China where it's illegal. And we literally snuck in copies of the Bible into communist China. One point we got caught. That's a whole other story for another time. But I'll never forget we had made this big smuggle that was accompanied by miracles into Beijing. And in the dead of night, in a dark alley, we were delivering these Bibles to an underground church pastor. And it was the coolest thing. He pulls up in this little old van, and we start loading the Bibles in, and he looks at me with this serious look on his face, and he says, "Is this all there is?" And I'll never forget, because in that moment, my heart dropped. I was really proud. I thought we'd done a fantastic job. We had something like 1,800 Bibles that we'd smuggled in. I was really proud of that. But for him, it was just a drop in the bucket. I'd love to show for you this morning, and you can look this up on YouTube, when Christians in China get their first copy of the Bible, it's amazing. It looks like one of those blue light sales at Christmas. I mean, they're so excited to get a hold of a Bible for the very first time. And yet you and I, we have stacks of them. We have Bibles that are collecting dust. We have Bibles that we never open. We have Bibles that we never read. Listen, a Bible that is never opened doesn't do much good. George Mueller, the great man of faith who ran an orphanage in Germany for many years, or in England for many years, he used to pray first every morning. He was a man of powerful prayer, but then he switched his routine and he began with the Word. He began to diligently, intentionally read the Word and then meditate on it. And he comments in his journals, he says, "You know what? I entered into the presence of God faster when I started by reading the Word. And then I moved into prayer. And it brought great joy into his life." I want to encourage you to make a determination to have time with God every single day. Have time with God. And if you do, the reason is to get direction from God. Psalm 25, verse 4. "Show me the path where I should go, O Lord. Point out the right road for me to walk. Lead me." So many times I can tell you I've been opening the Word of God day in and day out, and I found the very answer that I needed for that very day. Sometimes before I needed it, there was the answer. I can't tell you how incredibly important that is to make this a habit where every day, and you might even go back to that example that we had of exercise and think about the reminder, the routine, and the reward. What if every morning the first thing, Jesus would often get up early in the morning and seek the Lord? The Bible tells us that the routine is to get alone with God. Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. What if every morning, first thing in the morning, you dedicated that time to God? What if you waited on that first cup of coffee until you'd had your time with God? Maybe that could be your reward, that first cup of Java. We like to talk about Jesus journaling and Java, the three J's. Or maybe you have that first cup of coffee while you're having that time with God in His Word, beginning to pray, worshiping, making that time with Him the first thing, the most important thing of your day. If you start your day off in the Spirit, if you start your day off seeking God, let me tell you, your day will go better and you'll find that you're much more able to pray and walk in the Spirit throughout the day. Doesn't mean you won't have challenges. In fact, you will. But you will have started the day right, and you'll be able to once again respond rightly because you started things on the right foot. And then the result, it'll make you more effective. John 15:7, Jesus says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you'll ask for anything you wish and you shall have it." I want to offer to you, that's a keystone habit. You begin to seek God every day, you're going to begin to see things go better in your family, in your workplace, in every aspect of your life. Let me give you some resources for you to think about with me this morning. Very important. I want to pay attention to this for just a few minutes. Resources for your daily time with God. First, the YouVersion Bible app. How many of you have used at some point the YouVersion Bible app? Friend me on there, would you? Love to be your friend on there. It's a great resource. In fact, you can not only use that on your iPad, your iPhone, your computer, But you can also choose that one-year Bible reading plan, which is the exact plan that this church focuses on and walks together in. And you can every day have that portion of scripture where you're reading through the Bible together with us on that YouVersion, if you happen to use your iPad or your iPhone as your reading device. Secondly, how many of you, the Deliberate People Journal, we have several of them in the back. Here's a copy right here. There's some on the back table, $8. Has our Bible reading plan in it, has some suggestions on how to pray, and then a place for you to journal. Can I say to you that one of the great habits of men and women of the past was that they took the time to journal their journeys with God. And you and I are great beneficiaries of those incredible men and women of God of the past who took time to write down their experiences with God. Now I'm going to say something that quite honestly will probably blow you away, because you've probably never thought about yourself this way, and you wouldn't necessarily. But I want to say this to you. You have important things you need to be journaling for the next generation. Your journey with God is important and can and will touch someone if you record it. I want you to think of your journal that way. Every day as God is speaking to your heart and you're recording that down. Listen, you might think, well, I don't know that anybody will ever read that. Your children may one day. Your ancestors may one day. Those who come after you may one day. And if nothing else, it'll be a written record of your own journey with God that'll bring great encouragement and strength to your own life. But I want you to think about that. I'm not so sure that Hudson Taylor thought when he wrote down the spiritual secrets of the Christian life. I'm not so sure that when Hannah Hernad wrote down her journalings, or when John Bunyan in the prison, these great men and women of God of the past, when they wrote down their journeys, I don't know that they sat there and thought, you know, one day this will be a rich resource for those Christians in the year 2015. But it has been. It absolutely has been. I don't know that Oswald Chambers, when he was writing out that daily devotional that so many of us love, ever thought. He died at a very young age. Hardly even saw many of his dreams fulfilled in his own life. But as he wrote, "My utmost for his highest," it's become a perennial bestseller that has touched and blessed so many lives. You don't know how your journal might touch and affect somebody else. And I know this for sure, it'll affect you. It'll help you. It'll anchor you. So Deliver People Journal, there's a few of those in the back for sale, just $8. This is what we paid for them. Daily Audio Bible. How many of you have checked out Daily Audio Bible? Our dear friend Brian and Jill Harden, who were just here a month or so ago. And here's the Daily Audio Bible app. So if you go to dailyaudiobible.com or look up Daily Audio Bible on the App Store, what a great resource. I know a lot of the guys in the church have told me they use this. They'll plug it in and they'll listen to it on the way to work so that they're hearing through that daily reading as they're on their way to work. Or some will sit in a hot tub late at night and listen to the Daily Audio Bible. That'd be Bill Chady. I'm kind of jealous. Honey, I need a hot tub to listen to my Bible in. This is a thought. Wherever, however, the point is, and here's what I want to get through to you. You've got to be intentional about forming the habit of spending time with God. Maybe you already do, but maybe that habit needs to be increased. Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe you're spending 10, 15 minutes with God, and maybe the Lord is speaking to you. That needs to become a half hour. Maybe you're spending a half hour, and the Lord's saying that needs to become an hour. The one-year Bible. Again, this is the plan that we use. It's in our journals, and we have, I actually ordered two copies of three different versions. I forgot what we paid for them, so we're just offering them for $10 back there. On the back it says $18.99, but just give us $10. Just want to get the resource into your hand. We have the New Living Translation the New International Version and the New King James Version back there. But how much more simple could it get? You have it already divided up. Listen, can I be confessional with you? I've been following the Lord now for 35 years. For over half of my Christian life, I never read through the whole Bible. I'm embarrassed to tell you that. And then several years ago, I started in the habit of reading through the Bible systematically, year after year after year. Nothing has been more anchoring, more encouraging, more strengthening, and more helpful than that habit. Some of you heard me talk about my great aunt Jo, who I love so dearly. She lived in Florida. She just passed away a couple of years ago at the age of 90. I think she was 95. And I asked my aunt Jo one day, I said, "Aunt Jo, don't you get lonely here?" And we'd offered for her to come and live with us, and she refused. She wanted to stay where she was at. She says, I never get lonely. I said, "You're kidding. You're here in this," they call them modular homes. We call them trailers. In South Florida, and hurricanes would sweep through. One time we came and a hurricane had hit, and she was sitting in the pitch black, and water was leaking into her trailer. It was really a tough situation. And I said, "Aunt Jo, don't you get lonely?" She says, "Absolutely not. God is here with me every single day." She said, "I spend time with him, and it's precious to me." And I said, "What do you do, Aunt Jo?" She says, I read through the Bible. I have a plan, and I read through the Bible all the way every year." I said, "How many years have you been doing that, Aunt Jo?" And this is what blew me away. She said, "Well, I guess it's over 75 now." Over 75 years. I got to tell you about my Aunt Jo. I've probably not met many people who had the kind of peace that she had in her heart and her life. An unshakable peace. She was an incredible inspiration to me and to my wife. Amazing woman of God. So, 1 year Bible. Let me throw a couple more at you, and then I want to talk to you about the New Song Louisville Facebook group. This is a great devotional called the 1 Year Devotional, written by Larry Stockstill. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Larry Stockstill. He pastors one of the greatest churches in America. It's called Bethany World Outreach Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's an amazing church that has had a great impact. In fact, one of the churches that we're closely connected with, Church of the Highlands, Pastor Chris Hodges would consider Larry Stockstill his pastor. He came out of that church, and so have many, many other great men and women of God. Larry Stockstill has a 1 year devotional that goes right along with our daily reading. You can order it off Amazon, $6, $8, I don't know, something like that. I have a copy, and I use it along with my daily reading. It's a great resource. And then I just recently found and ordered this one called What Now? And you may not be able to see this, but it's by a guy named Christopher Barnett, I believe it is. And essentially, he uses the same exact reading guide, and then he offers about 5 different questions from the scripture each day. Just reflection questions from what you've read. Just ways to go deeper into the word, to let the word go deeper into you. Amen? And then let me tell you about New Song Louisville Facebook group. Starting on January 1st, on our New Song Louisville group, how many of you are a member of the New Song Louisville group? Okay, the rest of you, we invite you to become members, okay? Please go and we'll add you into the group. What we're going to do starting on January 1st is many of us, different ones of us, are going to start making comments about the daily reading, giving parts of our devotionals, parts of our time with God, and commenting and encouraging us together as a family on that group. So the whole point is that we're walking through the Word together. Isn't there something good feeling about that? There's something anchoring about that. And we want to build that to the place that you and I can come in and you can look at your brother or sister and you can say, "Hey, what did you think about that reading today? Man, that was really powerful. What we read in Revelation today, or that psalm really touched my heart today, or that proverb really stood out to me today." Whatever it was. And If we can do that together, I think we'll grow together, we'll be strong together to be a powerful thing. So how many of you will remember to check out New Song Louisville on January 1st, okay? Check that out. Become a part of that. We want you to be a part of it too. Get on there and make comments. Tell us about what the reading meant to you that day. Tell us about what stood out to you that day. We want to hear from you, and it'll be a neat thing together. All right, let's keep going on our four life-changing habits. We're going to hit these other three pretty quick. Give a tithe to God every week. Tithing. What in the world's tithing, you say? Well, it means giving the first 10% of your income back to God. Why should you do that? Well, the reason is simply this: to draw closer to God. To draw closer to God. And you go, really, Pastor Jeff, tithing will help you draw closer to God? Absolutely. Look at what Scripture says. Matthew 6:21. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Deuteronomy 14:23. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. What's the routine? The routine is on the first day of every week to bring and set aside part of what you have earned. 1 Corinthians 16:2. The result will be incredible blessings. Bring your whole tithe into my storehouse. Test me in this, says the Lord. See if I don't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room for it. Remember, we talked about this several weeks ago. You and I are incredibly rich. The richest 1% of people in the world. And we should absolutely be thankful to God and should be honoring Him with the blessings we've received. Number three, fellowship with other believers regularly. This is small groups. By the way, our small groups are starting on January 31st. The reason is to be encouraged. I love Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Notice that word habit. Instead, let us encourage each other. And all the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you think the day of the Lord's return is approaching? It's getting sooner. We're one day closer. Amen? You might say, well, I'm not sure these are the last days. Well, let me tell you, these are your last days. And you ought to be seeking the Lord. Whether they're the last days of all mankind or not, I don't know. But there are last days. And we want to live them well and live them focused on the Lord and seeking Him. The routine, as often as you can, day after day, they met in the temple courts from house to house. The result, you'll become more effective. Two are better off than one. There's something about the encouragement of being together with other believers that strengthens you and blesses you. Number four of life-changing habits, share the good news often. Amen? Means reaching those within our reach. The reason, good news is meant to be shared. The routine, share as you go. The result, lives will be changed. Amen? Share the good news. So four habits that I want to encourage you to continue to build into your heart and your life so that they become a regular part of who you are. Remember, champions do every day. I want to be a champion for God. Amen? I want to encourage you and help you to be a champion for God too. And it's all about the habits that you create in your life day in and day out. Champions do every day what others just do every once in a while. And then lastly, let's talk about our fast. I love this quote from John Piper, and we'll simply end with this. There is an appetite for God, and it can be awakened. I invite you to turn from the dulling effects of food and the dangers of idolatry and to say with some simple fast, this much, oh God, this much I want you. Our appetites dictate the direction of our lives, whether it be the craving of our stomachs, the passionate desire for possessions or power, or the longing of our spirits for God. But for the Christian, the hunger for anything besides God can become an archenemy, while our hunger for God in Him alone is the only thing that will ultimately bring victory. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me this morning? Father,